Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 12, and then we're going to read a verse in Proverbs chapter 16. But in Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse number 12, it tells us, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." If you look in Proverbs chapter number 16 and verse number 25, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you help us. I ask you, Father, to touch us. And Father, to put your hand upon us and make us this morning an able minister of the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. Father, you know the need this morning. And we just pray that you take and use the Word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You might say, "Well, brother, that's the same verse." And it is. It is the same verse. It is a verse that we see, and so we could say, well, it's a verse of repetition. Something that we need to know. Something that is important, and it's so important that it needed repeating. That there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Our text speaks of a way. Of a way. And the definition of a way is a method, a style, or a manner of doing something. There is a way. Our text also speaks about a right way. A right way. And my daddy's always told me all of my life, there's a right way to do something. And then there is a wrong way. And it speaks here about the right way as it seems to man. And so this tells us that what may seem to be right, what may seem to be proper or okay to man, is not necessarily the right way. It seems right unto man, but amen. So it's telling us that may not be the right way. But now, if I had to say this morning, if somebody was asking me, well, what do you think man's right way would be? Well, if I had to put it to you short, it would be this way. His way. Ain't our way the best way? Whatever it is that we're doing, I mean, that's the way you do it. I mean, we see other people doing things a lot of other different ways, but if they just do it our way, it'd be better. Right way. And so, listen, Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord pondereth the hearts. And so, when we ask this question, what's the right way? This question does not carry near as much weight if you're talking about how to clean a fish, or if you're talking about how to build a little storage shed. You may take two people that clean that fish two different ways, but when it all gets fried up and it's golden brown and on the plate, amen, you might not be able to tell the difference. But see, we're not talking about things that don't have an importance. We're talking about the salvation of man and our relationship with God. People go about different tasks in this world very different ways, and they still arrive at the same end, the same conclusion, and everything is all right. But here we're talking about salvation. We're talking about our relationship with God. And there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, this has a narrow framework on how a person can be right with God. On how a person can be right with God. The Bible speaks of a broad way and a narrow way, does it not? Amen. And often in the Bible it speaks about ways, two different ways. And it talks about that broad way. Many are in the broad way. But amen, we need to walk in the narrow way. We need to walk in the right way. We need to walk in God's way. God's way. We need to walk in God's way. How can a person be right with God? Romans 6 and 23 speaks of the wages of sin. What does it say about those wages of sin? It said that they bring death. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the wages of sin, many people say, it may say that, but I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad of a person. Well, here's what God said. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, because it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know who that includes? That includes everybody in the house. Amen. Amen, preacher, and everybody else. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. And so sin brings hideous results. It does. I mean, if we persist to walk and to live in sin, the results are detrimental. There's no good that will come out of it. Amen. Though we may enjoy a pleasure in sin for a season, amen, that season will end and the results will be death. It will be no good. But in salvation, a right relationship is restored between man and God. In salvation, where did my relationship go wrong? It went wrong back in the garden in Adam. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, amen, sin came in and separated from God, and that relationship was broken. And Adam being the head of the race, sin passed down. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but Jesus came. Jesus came as that second Adam to take away our sins, to offer to us salvation. Jesus did. And so we say, how can we restore this relationship between men and God? And here's what God says. In John chapter 3, in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is Jesus' very words here that he's spoken, and he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. There has to be born again, and this being born again is, amen, speaks of a new birth, being born from above. The Bible also tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name here that it's talking about is Jesus. It said there's no other name. I said that this was a narrow way. And the Bible tells us there's no other way to restore our relationship with God except through Jesus Christ. We cannot come to God except by Christ. Now there are ways that seem right to a man. Many ways. They seem okay. They seem acceptable. However, the only way for us to be right with God is God's way. That's the only way. We cannot be right with God except we go about it God's way. And here's man. We hear a lot of things. Well, I've lived a good life. I'm a good citizen. I don't need your religion. You know, I find God in other places. I find God in nature. I'm not a big fan of organized religion. Some say you have your religion, I've got mine, and let's just leave it at that. Some might say, well, I'm sincere in my beliefs, and I'm sure you're sincere in your beliefs, and so that's really all I think that matters. As long as you're sincere in what you believe, then that'll be okay. All of these can be ways that man justify himself with God and convince himself that everything will be all right. They seem okay. They seem acceptable to man. And we could go on in the ways that seem right unto a man, but I want us to take us back to the beginning and look in the book of Genesis in chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4 and see from the very beginning of time what we find out about man. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 3, it tells us, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. It says here that Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice, and he offered it to God. We're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 4, that he offered that sacrifice by faith. that he offered it by faith. He came to God in faith, and in obedience he offered to God the sacrifice that was required. The Bible don't tell us and don't give us an instance here of everything that they knew, but they knew this about offering sacrifice and what it took. And Abel brought a sacrifice and he came by faith. Amen. But Cain, he also brought a sacrifice. But Cain did not bring a sacrifice according to God's plan, according to God's will, according to what God has ordered them to do and to bring. That's not how he came. But Cain, he brought a sacrifice and he came to worship God of his own will. I mean, he brought and he came in the way that he thought was good enough. He said, I'll do it Cain's way. I'll go to God and I'll give him sacrifice and I'll call it worship and we'll spend a little time and everything should be well. But amen, God accepted Abel's sacrifice and he did not accept Cain's sacrifice, and boy, he was angry. See, he thought that his little sacrifice, that his way of doing things was good enough. And many today think their way of doing things, amen, is good enough. They say, I don't need the church. I don't need this. I don't need that. Listen, here's what we need. We need Jesus. We must have Jesus. If we have not Christ, amen, the Bible said we're none of His. Amen. It takes Jesus to fix the relationship that is broken between man and God. So Cain's offering, his coming, seemed good enough to him. Seemed good enough. Seems good enough to me. What's that word mean? Give the impression or the sensation of being something or having a particular quality. But see, they came and he brought his sacrifice. And many today come and they bring their little things, but it does not have what seems all right. It seems to them to be okay, but it don't have the quality that God's looking for. What's he looking for? Amen. The Bible tells us, you know what God cannot look upon, and that is sin. Amen. What separated us from God? It was sin. Jesus came to be our sacrifice, to take our place. What was not found in him, there was no sin found in him at all. He was the perfect sacrifice. All the other sacrifices of the Old Testament, they pointed forward to the perfect sacrifice that would come. Those sacrifices had to be offered year after year as they were paying it forward, if you will. But Jesus came and he was the perfect sacrifice. The Bible said offered once for the sins of the world. Once for all. The perfect sacrifice to reconcile man with God. We live in a world today where mankind has his philosophies about life, about religion, about morality, and about eternity. But you know what? The only way that we know if those things that we believe are of any value is if we look and see if they align with what God says. If they align with God's view, if they align with the Word of God, amen, if they do not align with the Word of God, what use are they? I remember when I was a boy, me and Scotty and Jeff, if Daddy said, clean the shop, I wasn't cleaning it to my standard. I wasn't cleaning it to what somebody else might have said. Well, you know, that's all right. That looks good enough for me. Let's go fishing. Well, not yet. I mean, it was Daddy's shop. He's the one told me to clean it. So I better clean it up according to his standards. And see, here's the thing. I knew what he expected. And we know this morning what God expects. He expects righteousness. God expects things that we cannot give. Well, what are we going to do? For God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He sent Jesus, amen, to step in to take our place. And so God has said, if we offend just in one point, we're guilty. I mean, if we have broken the law in one point, then we're guilty. And listen, there's not a one of us that's sitting in here this morning that we could go down and talk about the things, you know, of the law in it, and we wouldn't have to get very far in it where we'd have to lie or confess that we're guilty. And especially when you start thinking about some of the things that Jesus told them concerning it, because He brought it to that even their very thought life entered into the process of whether or not they were righteous and sinning or not. Oh my. So I'm guilty. What must I do? Well, listen. Amen. I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth and unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith, amen. We have to believe God, to trust Him, amen, and believe that He is who He said He was, and we accept Him, amen, as our all-sufficient Savior. You know, somebody told me this illustration one time, and he said that a man took, and across the Niagara Falls, they stretched a great cable, and he walked it, and he come back, and then he walked across one way, and then he took a wheelbarrow, and he pushed a wheelbarrow across it, coming back the other way. Boy, everybody's a cheering and a hollering, whoo. And he asked him, he said, who believes I can do it again? And they all, yeah, whoo. And he said, if you really believe, get in. Get in. See, what God has said is, where do we need to be? We have to be in Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I wouldn't have got in his wheelbarrow either. But see, here's the difference. He ain't God.
Amen.
Amen. God can push us across. Amen. When we're in Christ, when God looks at us and He sees us, if we've trusted Christ, if we've put our trust in Him, then, amen, when God looks at us, who does He see? He sees His Son. He sees Christ. Some say, preacher, you know, I'm trying to be as good as I can be. Amen. I'm glad you are. That's good. We should all be good citizens, good folks, good people. But amen, if that's all we've got, that won't save us.
Amen.
It just won't. Well, preacher, you know, I try to treat people the way that I want to be treated. I give to charity and I give money and do things and try to help out around in the community. Well, amen, that ain't nothing in the world wrong with that. Unless you're counting on it for salvation. Listen, I'm a good Baptist. I'm an Assembly of God. I'm a, you know, preacher, you just don't know. I'm a member of the Church of the Reformed Christian Theology Updated 2024. Well, amen, all that may be well and good. But if that's where we're putting our hope and our trust, amen, it won't save us. It will not save us. Amen, and all of these things may be good things and things that we need to do. But, amen, they're not what brings salvation. They're not what makes us right with God. They're ways that seem right to men. And if I just do them, if I'll be better than most, I think I'll make it in. You know, listen, and here's the thing, God help us. And I don't say this, I say this because I love every one of you. I do. But you know what the Bible tells us about ourselves? It says the heart of man is desperately wicked.
Amen.
Who can know it? Boy, you let somebody wrong us. If we don't let the Spirit of God deal with it and work in our hearts, boy, I will think and all kinds of things. We figure out how we can settle the score.
Amen.
Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you know what did He say?
Amen.
Turn the other one. What? Boy, I'm going to just tell you right now, and then listen, you can say amen on me or what, but that goes against pretty much every grain of that's in our old flesh. Somebody hauled on and slapped us for us to turn the other cheek. We like that one old fellow. He said, you know, every once in a while, I just had to lay down my religion. Well, that's what most of us like to do. We like to lay it down for a little bit, but listen, that's not what God said we ought to do. not what he called us. It's not what he called us to do. And God help us, because see, here's the thing that I believe in this life. One of the easiest people for us to deceive in all of the world is ourselves. Because see, here's the thing. I don't believe this morning, as I look out here at you this morning, I don't believe that any of us is as bad as we could be. I don't believe that we're as bad as we could be. But we're probably all a little bit worse than we actually think we are. Because of that old heart, that old sin nature. We get prone sometimes to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And it is a sad thing for man to step into a place where he thinks that everything, well, it seems all right. And for God to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Oh, I did this, I did that. But you didn't trust God, you didn't believe God. As we get ready to try to close here, when we look down into the Genesis in chapter 4, there where God's dealing with them about this, in verse number 13, when the judgment comes, when the word of judgment comes for Cain, here's what he had to say. "My punishment is greater than I can bear." My punishment is greater. God gave him opportunity. God said, "Son, you can go back and do this again." But listen, what did he do? He was angered. Of course, we know he rose up and he slew his brother. Over what? Religion. You know what's going on a lot in this world? You know why there's a lot of killing going on in this world today? Religion. Because men don't know who God is. Because they've found a way. Seems right to me. I'll take it. But one day the last bell's going to ring. And it's going to be over. And they're going to say with Cain that my punishment's greater than I can bear. I pray this morning that we find the right way and that we walk in it by the grace of God. You say, "Well, preacher, the right way, what's the right way?" The right way is God's way. And he's called us to salvation through Christ Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If you have a need while we sing, you come this morning.